Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Fairfield County, New Haven, and all along the shoreline. Melissa in the Morning brings you the latest on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Going up as well. It's not fun. In the end, you're never feeling fulfilled. And I have an apartment now, and I have a roommate still. And it's still my goal not to be living with someone else at 35. My next goal and my next dream is to own my own house. Most people my age want to own a house by the time they're 35, raise a family. My dad was 18 when he had me and did sacrifice so much to do everything they gave me. They gave me a lot. But I'm not a father yet, you know. I'd like to be, but I would never raise a kid without a house because I've been moved around a lot. And that wasn't my choice, and I don't regret it, but I would like stability to raise a family and a home.
This testimonial that was posted just last week by Connecticut Housing Partners, it really hit home for me because we talk a lot about the lack of housing and the fact that we have this crisis and certainly the, I would say, misrepresentation of when we say affordable housing, what people are thinking of, right? I mean, when you hear affordable housing, unfortunately, that has been so politicized over the last few years that we always think of it's the people who don't work or are considered poor or considered, you know, again, homeless on the streets. They chose this. You know, we have these depictions in our minds of who we're trying to find housing options for. But then you hear stories like this. A 35-year-old, his name is Chris, and you just heard a part of his testimony. This is a guy who's working full time. He is working here in Connecticut. Good job in Connecticut, might I add. But he cannot find not only options of where he could live near his job, but he also can't find affordable ones. He still has a roommate. As you just heard, I'd love to start a family. I got to find a home, though. I've got to find a stable place to go. And if you listen to the full video, he talks about how he's had to couch hop. And, you know, thankfully, he had a friend whose mother was willing to let him live in the basement for a year. And he says, you know, so graciously, I can't imagine where I'd be if not for that friend's mom who gave me a helping hand, because so many others are not as lucky as I am. I mean, but even with that perspective, I think it tells a huge story that affordable housing is not what you're thinking. We are talking about trying to attract young people to this state, have them grow their families here, grow our economy. But how in the world do we do that if we don't have housing opportunity for them and we don't have affordable housing? So Renee Dobas is here again with Connecticut Housing Partners. And wow, I mean, Renee, this video to me was so telling and so different than some of the other testimonials your organization has posted in the past. I mean, talk a little bit about Chris.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Chris is a hardworking young man. And you know, I'm not trying to put race into it, but he's a white man. And he's working full time, and that's not who people think about when they're thinking about somebody who's trying to strive to find affordable housing. And we have a bunch of other testimonials as well, you know, of hardworking people and people with good paying jobs, but it's not enough. The National Low Income Housing Coalition annually does a study, and in Connecticut, the fair market rent for a two-bedroom apartment is $1,796. And in order to afford this level of rent and utilities without paying more than 30% of income on housing, a household must earn $5,986 a month, or $71,837 annually. So that's assuming a 40-hour work week and full time. That equates to $34.54 an hour. So that's a lot of money to be able to live in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And our minimum wage in the state of Connecticut is $15.69. So if you're making minimum wage in Connecticut, you have to work 88 hours a week to afford that same apartment at $17.96. And if you want to rent a one-bedroom, you have to work 71 hours a week. So it really is a tremendous pressure on our population. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and this is interesting, and we all know there's a housing crisis in the state of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to somebody, and I said, you know, when COVID was here, the state responded to COVID like the crisis that it was.
Yes.
But we have a housing crisis, but the state is not responding to this crisis the way it should be.
Ding, 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 and, ding. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that all of the responsibility lies with the state to solve this problem. It's on all of us to try to work together and come up with solutions. But it is not being focused on enough as it should be.
Well, I mean, and here's the thing, Renee. I think what the reason I say ding, 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 and of course it sounds mm-hmm. like I'm making a joke, but I think what's so frustrating is I can't stand, personally, I cannot stand the amount of times I have local leaders on, and again, I respect these local leaders. I'm not saying that it's one person's, you know, one entity who's in charge of this. I can't stand that we are so, we're touting that, oh, we're creating more housing opportunities. We're creating, we're building. Okay. I see builders getting more money because they're creating mm-hmm. complexes because there's a need, right? We get that. But mm-hmm. I'm not seeing the affordable aspect here. I'm seeing that we are barely hitting the minimum amount of affordable. And when we say affordable, I think that's a very funny word as well, because we're creating yeah. complexes where we're like, all right, this is considered affordable. Really? Okay. Because when you look at how much people are paying rent, I'm looking at these facts in Connecticut. If the minimum wage is $15 an hour, $15.69 to be precise, but the mm-hmm. average renter wage is $22.30. I mean, it doesn't compute. It doesn't make any sense. So first of all, people aren't making enough money to be able to survive and be in these, what you want to call affordable couple of units that they're making. They're not creating enough. But then you also look at the most expensive areas in Connecticut, right there at the top of it, where we're trying to attract young people out of college, especially, is right there near the commuting area of New York City. That is Stamford to Norwalk. That is the most expensive area, followed by Danbury and Bridgeport, and then the Milford, Ansonia, Seymour area. Those are the top areas with the highest expenses to live there. So when I hear from first selectmen and mayors, oh, we're creating housing in our cities. Yeah, well, nobody can afford to live in them. No one can afford to live in those places. So I don't really care how much you're building. It does nothing for people in Connecticut, the average Connecticut resident. It certainly doesn't make people want to move back here and start families here. That's lunacy.
Yeah, I really appreciate your passion. I feel just as passionately as you do. And I think the other thing that needs to be pointed out is that 34% of our population are renters. So that's more than a third of our population need to find rental housing, because for whatever reason, either they can't afford to buy a home, or, you know, they choose to rent, whatever the reason is. And I'm with you as well with, you know, local leaders. The political will just isn't there. A lot of our planning and zoning folks that work in the different municipalities, they're elected positions. So it's not as so they feel vulnerable to being elected again, because if they try to push this narrative too far. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. But what I was trying to say is that when the municipalities are telling the market rate developers, all right, we want 10 or 20% of these apartments to be affordable, they're building 80 more that are not.
Exactly.
So the metric never goes up. And so that's the problem.
But it's a waste, Renee. And again, we have Renee Dobas here of Connecticut Housing Partners. And this is a nonprofit that's been in Connecticut for over 30 years, and they're creating affordable housing options in our state and have been, over the decades. And so when we come back, I want to talk about solutions. You know, when you hear stories like Chris or the many people, I mean, the testimonial that Renee sort of landed on, she just shared with us that somebody said to her, you know, COVID, man, we were all hands on deck. We were all on the same page for the most part of how we're supposed to handle this crisis. But we just aren't on the same page when it comes to housing. And that's a huge problem. So what are some solutions that we could be, you know, really actively doing now to see results? We're going to talk about that and get Renee's perspective right after traffic and weather.
She's got everything Stamford needs to know. You're listening to Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
We're talking about the housing crisis, not just here in Connecticut, but across the country. And Connecticut Housing Partners makes it a point to be on WICC every month. They're one of our housing experts here. It's a nonprofit organization that's been here for over 30 years in Connecticut, creating workforce and affordable housing for many. And we have Renee Dobas here, who is the president and CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners. Renee, I don't usually do this, but we are getting a call from somebody in Norwalk, Jan, who lives there, who would like to comment on this. And it's interesting. The reason I do this is also because Norwalk was one of the communities that in the last couple of months, they have been touting that they're creating more and more housing opportunities. So I am interested to hear what Jan has to say. Jan, you've got a quick minute if you want to join the conversation. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Sure. Norwalk is all about density. Well, it's so dense here that you can't even move around. I mean, there's so many vehicles on the road. It's mm-hmm. ridiculous. Mm. And they're building and building and building. They're always building new apartments, new housing. And Norwalk used to be a great little place, a great little town, but it is not any longer. It's just full of people. And really, like I say, you can't even move around. It's so busy. It's ridiculous.
Well, Jan, thanks for the insight. I appreciate the call and that you're listening to WICC. I mean, that is something, Renee, that you and I have talked about before as well, is that we're building up our cities so much, which I understand, you know, that, you know, people living and working there. But as far as more of our green space, or I guess kind of our quieter neighborhoods and towns, especially around Fairfield County and Lower New Haven County, that's where we've had a lot of issues with trying to create more housing opportunities, correct?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. I was actually in Norwalk yesterday, and she's correct. It is very busy, and they are building, and very tall buildings are being built, you know, which kind of gives it that New York City feel. But the reason why, you know, in some ways Norwalk is feeling pressured to step up, Stamford's feeling pressured to step up, Bridgeport's feeling pressured to step up, because the Darien's, the New Canaan's, all of those other communities that are around these towns are not stepping up. And so people have to live somewhere. And so that's the NIMBYism, the not in my backyard, that's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're trying to push affordable workforce housing into the city sector and not allowing it to go into the suburbs. And that's where a lot of people work. They work in those suburbs.
Exactly.
You know, your teachers, mm-hmm. you know, the pharmacists. So you're saying to them, well, you can come in and serve me, but you can't be my neighbor.
Why do you think that is, Renee? Do you think it is? And I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here, because it makes total sense that listen, we need to be able to kind of bring the congestion out of our cities a little bit, because you're right. I think the higher paying jobs, some of the times, I mean, I look at teachers are leaving cities so quickly to go to the towns because they're making more money. And quality of life is a little bit, they say, a little bit better. But they can't live in those towns. They can't afford to live there. So I do understand, you know, people will say like, oh, it's going to ruin the vibe of our neighborhoods and all that. Okay. But and I'm not discrediting that. But I guess I agree with you that it's like, you know, you want people to serve, you want to have the best of the best there, but we're not willing to house them there. Do you feel though that towns feel like the reason they don't want to have these developments put in is exactly what you and I were talking about before, which is, why am I going to make our town more densely populated with buildings that essentially no one can afford to live in. If we're only going to offer 6 to 10 units, somebody brought up, for example, the one near the Trumbull Mall. They just put in a bunch of units there. Looks like luxury apartments to me. I don't know who's living there or how much they have to afford to live there. But I'm not hearing about, oh, man, I'm not hearing anybody in my age bracket going, man, I just snagged a very inexpensive or affordable spot in Trumbull. I'm not hearing that. So do you think that towns are kind of worried about creating housing because they're really not affordable options? It's just taking up space.
That's not what I've heard. What I've heard is they're concerned about too many people moving in and overrunning the school system. They're worried about their infrastructure. They understand that it might be adding to the tax base, but it may cost them more than the tax base that's being created. The planning and zoning departments, a lot of these suburbs, you know, are single family home communities. That's how they're zoned. So there's only certain areas in the communities that they will allow multifamily to enter into, which is basically the main streets, downtown areas, you know, closer to where the shopping is, which is fine. That's nothing wrong with that. So I think there's a fear due to lack of education. People, like you said earlier in the segment, they have an assumption of what it means.
That's what I was wondering. Is it an image thing that people are like, I don't want to attract, I don't want to say losers, but that it because we don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. But that idea in people's minds that it's like, well, I don't want to build affordable housing if we're just going to attract people who are going to use the system and we're not going to help people like that. Is it uneducation? I mean, not being educated and knowing that.
Yes, it is a lack of education, understanding, you know, what diversity will bring into the community and that it really makes the community stronger, not weaker. Senator Fetterman, he's putting a bill forward that he wants to provide financing or funding to all the municipalities so that they can do a study and really try to understand what their communities need, because nationwide we have a shortage of 3.9 million units of affordable housing. So it's not just a crisis in the state of Connecticut, it's being felt across the country. And so it's really getting the attention of the federal government, our local government. I was speaking to a local representative yesterday who works in the state house. And, you know, we were talking about the money is there, but it's just coming out in drips and drabs, right? It's coming out very slowly.
My understanding, though, Renee, is that the money is there, but the money is going to the cities. So, like, if these towns want to get in on having affordable housing options, let's just say, they're having to go through, I mean, you know, crazy obstacles to be considered for like grant programs, whereas it's not as difficult, I'm hearing, for the cities to get these housing options.
Well, yes, they have options too, but I also have options as a nonprofit developer. And so when I'm working with the Department of Housing or Connecticut Housing Finance Authority, and what I was trying to say to the state rep is that they've become so bureaucratic over the year. So it shouldn't take so long to get through their pipeline to get this housing built. So I said they need to be more nimble. So he told me that they're actually looking at the state statutes and then also the policies that those two organizations have put into place to try to streamline it so that we can get through the system faster. Mm-hmm. Because over the next 3 years, the state only has 6,500 units in its pipeline. And, you know, and this is taking advantage of tax credits and, you know, state housing bonds and, you know, financing that we can get through the state. Also in March, I was on the Capitol Hill and I was talking to senators and congressmen as well. We're a small state. We only have 3.5 million people that live in Connecticut. But it was interesting to hear from the earlier news segment that you were talking about that we're the fourth most densely populated state, which I find pretty amazing.
It is.
And so I was telling them we're a small population. More tax credits, and tax credits are allocated to a state based on their population. Mm-hmm. So California is getting boatloads of tax credits, whereas Connecticut is not.
That's so true.
Right. So there needs to be a different way of allocating tax credits so that there's a better equity amongst all the different states and what the needs are. I think it should be based on need as opposed to what your population is.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Renee Dobis, obviously the conversation is far from over, which is why I love that you've committed to having CT Housing Partners on the show, at least on a monthly basis, if not more. And I love our conversations. Thank you so much. If people want more information about CHP, where do they go?
CTHousingPartners.org. And please donate. We can use all the help that we can get.
Again, this is a nonprofit organization. It's been in Connecticut for more than 30 years, creating workforce affordable housing across Connecticut. They want to partner with municipalities. They want to create housing. These are people who are developing the housing here in Connecticut, vetted people. Definitely check them out online, Connecticut Housing Partners. We thank you so much, Renee, for the work that you do.
Thank you so much. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. We're going to go to traffic and weather. And when we come back, the man that you've all been waiting for, Dr. Fred Brown. He is back in just a few minutes, our infectious disease expert and peace of mind in the medical field. Don't miss it in a few minutes.